not heavy. He's my brother. Let's talk about it on this edition of Healing.
Hello, this is Mike Kelly. You are now listening to Key Life, where the Bible becomes relevant to your daily life. If you have a Bible, get it. And here is our teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open to the book of Obadiah, I'm going to finish this today, even if I don't finish. you just can't spend much more time on 21 verses. And we've been here two or three weeks, and I really want to get to Jonah. So we're gonna start Jonah Monday, no matter. I mean, unless I have a vision and see the Shekinah glory, and God says in Hebrew from the heaven with a very deep voice and echo, continue with Obadiah. I'm going to finish it today, which means I may move a little bit fast. But I want, it's just this one small book. And we're going through it now. I'm looking at some of the verses. Now, if you've been listening, when we spent a lot of time on the history involved with this, we looked at Obadiah 1:1-4, and we saw the connection between pride and a fall. And I suggested that whatever humbles you, whatever brings you to the end of yourself is a gift from God, because that's the place where God works. What are you doing, Lord? What are you doing, Lord? Did I tell you about the bird whose mother takes the nest away when the bird won't fly, the little baby bird? I mean, that's always been funny to me. I think the imagery of this little baby, you know, the other three have already flown. And this one bird says, this is a cool place, man. They keep bringing me these worms, and I'm in this warm, cuddly nest, and I think I'm just going to stay here. I'm not caring to fly. That's crazy. And then he looks down, and his mother... he's taking his nest away. I mean, he looks down, she's taking away piece by piece. Baby says, Mother, what are you doing? She didn't say anything. She just keeps taking it away. Pretty soon, the little baby bird realizes, I can't stay here anymore. I'm going to die. And then the baby bird flaps his wings and says, Hey, Mom, look at me. I'm flying. You don't fly until your nest is taken away, until you get weak, until things are really bad. And then you began to see God's power. The connection between pride and the fall. Don't be upset with God with anything that humiliates you. It's probably good for you. It's not good for me, but actually that's the place where God works in my life. Then we looked at Obadiah 1:5-6. We saw how bad Edom really was. You hear pagans say, how could God do that to those wonderful people? Well, I haven't met those wonderful people yet, and certainly not nations, and Edom was worse than others. I think it was the historian, I'm not sure, one of the major historical writers, who said the reason Napoleon fell was because something was out of kilter in the universe, and God decided enough is enough. Well, that's what happened with Edom. Then look at verses 10-14. For your violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were one of them. You ever think that we owe something to our brothers and sisters just because they are our brothers and sisters? Let me tell you why Christians fight so much. Because we believe there's something worth fighting for. Back when I was a little boy, I'd fight. I mean, there wasn't anything to fight about. I mean, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and it really doesn't matter. But if you have conviction and you believe there's something to fight about, you're in dangerous territory, and that's why we fight so much. But there's a sense in which we as Christians need to come together in a very close way, because we have responsibilities within the brotherhood and the sisterhood. We're all family. And I think that's the reason that Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, and they'll know that you're mine by how much love you have for one another. And then he repeated it, a new commandment I give to you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. and you're my friends. Sometimes in the midst of the theological battles, and you know, I'm involved in those too. Sometimes in the midst of our throwing rocks at each other, a man accused me on a radio broadcast recently of saying, if you're sincere, then that's all that's required, that God will accept you. I've never said that. I wouldn't say, why would he say that to me? And I got really angry at him, and then I realized, how many times have I done that with a brother or sister? Their responsibilities of brotherhood. And in this text that I just read to you, notice that it starts with what the problem is for your violence against your brother Jacob. It's important that we recognize the responsibilities of brotherhood. I looked upon my brother, and you can add sister, I looked upon my brother with a microscope and criticism, and I said, how coarse my brother is. I looked at him with a telescope of scorn, and I said, how small my brother is. Then I looked in the mirror of truth, and I said, how like me my brother is. I remember the missionary who had visited a third world country. Somebody asked how they could be so unified in that country, and he said, in a land where people pray to cows, there is very little that divides Christians. And I'm so concerned in our nation that Christians are so at each other's throat. We're competing as churches. We're competing as ministries. We throw rocks at each other. We have secret meetings, and we decide how we can come out on top. That's not from Jesus. Jesus, when that kind of thing was going on within the context of the disciples, remember James and John, the sons of thunder, their mother came and said, you know, could I talk to you in private, Jesus? Jesus said, what do you want? He said, well, you know, when you enter your kingdom, I got these boys and their son. Now, God didn't condemn her. She was a mother. Mothers are supposed to say things like that. But what he did is that he called all the disciples, almost like a mother hen would call her chicks. And he said, now listen, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, but it shall not be so among you. We have responsibilities to one another. We really do. And that's why I'm so quick on this broadcast when I say something that is negative and mean-spirited, and I do sometimes, about brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to repent of that. I don't want to do that. I want to be a unifying factor within the body of Christ. I love what they do at Promise Keepers. And every time I mention Promise Keepers, I get 10 letters from people that say they're theologically way off base. Well, they love Jesus. And God is doing something wonderful with those men. And the leader will sometimes say, everybody tell me your denomination and your church. And boy, it's chaos all over a stadium. And then he says, everybody say Jesus. And there's unity. That's really important. Look at verses 15 through 16. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. Notice that. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it will be done to you. You sort of get what you give. And that's built into the nature. You know what happened to me the other day? I was driving home. You ever have somebody get right on your back end of your car and ride you because you're not going fast enough? And then they pull around and they break the speed limit and they went through a school zone. I was so angry, and I said, God, if you're a just God, something would happen. And then I noticed the little flashing light coming up behind me and then pulling out and chasing this guy down the street. Made me feel so good, probably better than it should have, to finally see the books being balanced. Most of the time, we don't see that. We really don't. You know, the bad people seem to prosper, and the psalmist asked the question, but let me tell you something. Those books are going to be balanced. Someday, every book will be balanced. Every account will be brought in, and people will get what they've given. And then there's grace for those of us who haven't done it right. Look at Look at Obadiah 1. And there shall be no survivor in the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Let me tell you something. That prophecy literally came true. Hey, those guys who are single, when was the last time you dated an Edomite girl? Hey, do you have some Edomite neighbors? I mean, how many Edomites are in your school or in your church? None. You know why? Because God said, you will be no more. And they were no more. That's a good thing to remember when you read. And then there's the last part of this this book, and you can read it for yourself. It's the restoration of Israel. And that's an important thing. Golda Meir said this, in the battle with the Arabs, we Jews have a secret weapon. We don't have any other place to go. God's ancient people, restoration, home, God. You think about that, I'm in. Hey, listen, if you don't have our booklet, Christmas Meditations, I'd love to send it out to you free. You say, it's not Christmas. Well, this is a good time to prepare yourself. So we move into the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. The pagans are going to have a lot of parties, and they're having a party for what? They don't know why. But we know why. God likes parties, too. But when we celebrate, we remember the good news. And this will help you during the Christmas season to stay focused. And this is the time to write or call. Ask for Christmas Meditations. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. You can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. In Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38593, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And this is free, and I really mean it. But if you can help us financially, pray about it. Be as generous as you can, because you've got to stand for a whole bunch of other people. Only a small percentage of people who are helped by Key Life help us financially. So be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope, and for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching the assets of weakness. Be sure and give us the call letters of this station. And oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.